Okay, last week there was an internet sensation. This picture was going around of this fellow on an airplane in a bag. And everyone was commenting on it. What in the world is this guy doing? At first, the reason the media picked it up was on the Daily News. It was on the London Times. It was all over the place. It was all over the world. Jewish guy, of course, Haredi man, you could tell. So the reason the news outlets picked it up is because they assumed this had something to do with gender segregation. And that's a scandalous topic, gender segregation. So they went and they jumped all over it until people had to correct them and said, no, there's nothing to do with gender segregation. The man was wearing a bag on the airplane because of Tumas Kohanim. He was concerned that the plane was flying over a cemetery, and the plane flies over a cemetery, he's a Kohen, he's going to become Tamei, so he wraps himself in a bag in order to avoid the Tumah. So this involves four questions. This issue involves four questions. Question number one is there a real problem of planes that go over cemeteries? Is that Metzius? Is that true that planes that leave Israel and arrive in Israel are actually going over cemetery? Second issue is that if that is true, is that a halachic problem? That is that going to actually make a Kohen Tameh? Is that actually going to be a problem for the Kohen? Third issue is, assuming it does cause a halachic problem, does wrapping yourself in a plastic bag solve that problem? Does it help to put yourself in a plastic bag? Then the fourth issue is, assuming that it does help to put yourself in a plastic bag and that saves you from the tumah, is that a wise thing to do? Is that something that we would recommend? Now, this picture was going around. This has been going on for 10 years. This is not the only man that's ever done this. In fact, a guy in my shul told me that his brother, told me his brother learned in yeshivas Kol Torah in Eretz Yisrael, or Shlomo Zalman's yeshiva, and he was told to do this. He was told on a certain flight that he should put himself in a plastic bag, and he did, and he's not this guy in the picture. Diane Ehrentrau from the London Beis Din used to fly in a plastic bag also, would go in a plastic bag. So another one of my Talmidim told me that his parents were on a plane from Israel and they saw a guy lie down across a few seats and his wife wrapped a plastic bag around him and sealed it up and closed the guy up in a plastic bag. It's been done by several people. One chacham snapped a picture and they put it over all the internet. But it's been done before. So let's actually take a look at this from an objective perspective. So let's start with the Metzius. The Metzius is as follows. Diane Dunner wrote a piece in Yated where he explained the Metzius very carefully. Diane Dunner is very good Diane Aaron David Dunner of London Beis Din, is very good at researching various topics, and he said he spent a lot of time researching how the flight patterns work in Eretz Yisrael from Ben Gurion Airport, and this is what he found. When it comes to incoming flights during the daytime, it's no problem. Because during the daytime, they already reached an agreement with the pilots that during the daytime, if they see the cemetery, the cemetery is in Cholon, which is right near the airport, if they see the cemetery, the pilot is supposed to go around the cemetery. So during daytime, the pilot is landing the plane with his vision, and therefore he's able to go around the cemetery. A nighttime flight that's coming into Eretz Yisrael will come in, they can't do it with vision, there's not enough vision, so they have a light beam that they shoot out from the airport, and it's a straight line, and the pilot has to go right through that line. That line goes directly over the cemetery in Cholon. So that's an issue, okay? Outgoing flights. So generally speaking, for a flight to leave Israel, they have to be very careful exactly where they go, because you may not be familiar with this, but Israel is not surrounded by friends, right? So if you go into airspace of some of the neighboring countries, it would be big, big trouble. They always have to go out to the Mediterranean Sea, and then away they go from there. So any flight that goes straight west, they have an east-west running runway. Right now, the north-south running runway is in disrepair. So it's no good. They only have the east-west running runway. So it can go either east to west or west to east. So any flight that comes out east to west will just go straight to the Mediterranean and then choose their flight path from there, and they won't go anywhere near the cemetery in Cholon. But flights that go west to east will go west to east and then have to turn around quickly on very specific coordinates so that they can go out to the Mediterranean and fly away from there. One of those coordinates is to follow right over the Cholon Cemetery. So it does go over the Cholon Cemetery during the night time when they're not able to use visual and they have to follow very specific coordinates. It does go over the Cholon Cemetery on flights that are incoming flights at an altitude of about 2,000 feet, outgoing flights at about 5,000 feet. So Metzius, is there... Oh, one more very important point of Metzius. For whatever reason, between 12 and 1 a.m., there are no incoming flights. And all the outgoing flights take off directly to the west. for whatever reason. That's just the way the system is set up. Which means, if you fly to and from Israel, from America to Israel, you'll almost always be okay if you're a Kohen, because most of the flights, if you take the nighttime flights, most of the flights land in Israel during the daytime, and the ones that take off from Israel at night will take off between 12 and 1 usually. That's the standard time of a flight to come back. So it's pretty easy to avoid entirely if you're a Kohen and you're going from... If you go to London, it's not as easy to avoid. So that's what Dayan Dunner was much more concerned about, going to London. So that's the Metzius issue. Okay, now what about the Halacha issue? So does this make a Kohen Tame? When they discovered this issue, Raphael Cohen wrote a letter to Rabbi Yashiv. It's printed in the 10th volume of the journal Yeshurun, where Raphael Cohen came up with three Snifim Lahakel, and he wanted to see if Rabbi Yashiv would agree. Rabbi Yashiv rejected all three, didn't agree with any of them, thought that a Kohen should not take any of these flights. But let's go through what the issues are, what the possible issues lahakel are. First of all, the tumah that's in the ground by a cemetery is ola ad larakia, goes all the way up to the sky. But even when you say ad larakia, there must be some limit of what the rakia is. At some point in outer space, you're on a different planet, you know, are you still ad larakia? But all the major posts can assume between 2,000 and 5,000 feet is still well within range of the Tumah Ad the Rakia. Maybe above the clouds is beyond the Rakia already, but within where we go over the cemetery, you're still within range. Rav Schechter happens to have a very novel approach to the entire concept of Tumah Smeis and Sefer Bikve Atzon, where he suggests that there's no Isser for a Kohen to become Tumah to a Mace, the Isser is for a Kohen to have Kurva the Mace, to be too close to a Mace. And maybe this is not a sense of Kurva when you're thousands of feet above the mace, and maybe therefore it would not be an issue. That's one snif lahakel. Another possible snif lahakel is that the halacha is if you build an ohel over a dead body, that's at least one tefach of airspace between the top of the body and the ohel, the tumah stops right there. When they bury in Israel, they don't bury in a coffin. They put the mace in the ground, but then they put two concrete slabs, one on each side, and then one a third concrete slab on top. And a lot of times, there's a poseach tefach. Tefach is about 8 centimeters. There's a poseach tefach in between the mace and that top concrete slab. So maybe that would work. That would stop the tumah right there, and therefore going over would not be a tumah. The problem with that is, and this is what Rabbi Yaakov Ariel in Tchumen, Volume Chav Beis, suggests based on this, that at least it's a suffik. So it should be a suffik tumah. What's the halacha by Savik Tumah? Savik Tumah b'Rishus HaRabim is Tahar. Rishus HaRabim in regards to Tumah is defined as three people. So as long as there are more than three people on the plane, Savik Tumah b'Rishus HaRabim, you'd say Tahar. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Ariel is quoted as saying. The problem with that is manyfold. First of all, it's not so clear that a Savik Tumah's Kohanim follows the rules of Safek Tumah. It could be that by Tumah's Kohanim, the rules that you follow are Safek Isser, because it's an Isser for a Kohen to become Tameh. Safek Tumah is to know, is something Tameh, is it not Tameh? When you're dealing with an Isser to become Tameh, it could be that it would follow the laws of Safek Isser, in which case we'd have to say something Daraisa L'chumra. So that's a problem anyway. Another problem is the Metzius, is that very often, as those of us who live in this neighborhood know, when the ground gets wet and you know, foundations can crack, concrete can settle, we saw it with Sandy. So this happens on a much smaller level, just in the ground. The concrete very often settles and will not be a tefach above the mace. And in addition to that, there's something called Tumas Golel, a sealed kever, according to the Shulchan Aruch, Shinayin Beis, a sealed kever itself is Tameh, and that Tumah will go out of the Rakia. So the kever itself is going to cause Tumah. So for all those reasons, it seems that the Tefach airspace, relying on that, is not going to help you that much. Okay, so let's go a little higher. So that's not an Ohel. What about the bottom of the plane? Is the bottom of the plane an Ohel? Maybe when the plane flies over, Tumah goes up, hits the bottom of the plane, and stops right there, because the plane itself is an Ohel. So this is a Sugya Maseches Erevin about Ohel Zaruk. If you have a moving Ohel, it's a Machlokes Tanaim. Does that form an Ohel or not? Ruba de Ruba of Rishonim assume Ohel Zaruk is Lav Shmei Ohel. That's how the Ram Pasans in Chesum Smeis Parakid Alf Halacha Hey, that it does not form a valid Ohel, and therefore the Tumah does not stop. There is a Shita of the Riaz who holds that Ohel Zaruk is Shmei Ohel, like that Shita in Tanaim, and Raphael Cohen suggested maybe that should be a Snif Lahakel. There's also a Shita of the Ritva Meseches Erevin who holds that there's no problem of Ohel Zaruk. That there's no problem of Ohel Zaruk is an Ohel itself is not, if the Ohel itself is not Mekabel Tumah. So wood planking on the floor may help to serve as a valid Ohel. But the Rov Rishonim assume, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes in Har Tzvi, Rov Poskim assume not like the Ritva, Rov Poskim assume not like the Riaz. So the Oel Zaruk, the fact that the bottom of the plane is an Oel, will not work for us. Right, the standard halacha is that that does not work. It's not really an oil. Okay, so it's not that won't work. There is another halacha called kli cheres mukav tzamid psil. If you have a room with a dead body in it, and you have a kli cheres, and inside that kli cheres you have, let's say, a piece of food, and then you seal that kli cheres off, and then you bring that kli cheres into the room with the dead body, the food inside the kli is tahar. Why? Because the kli cheres cannot become tamei from the outside; it can only become tamei from the inside. And therefore protects its contents as long as it's sealed. So maybe the plane itself is a mukaf tzam seal. The plane itself will protect its contents. Why? Because it's airtight. It has to be, better be airtight, right? It's airtight. And it's not makabel tuma from the outside. That only works if it's not makabel tuma from the outside. What's a plane made out of? Made out of metal. So some of the posts will say, yeah, but what kind of metal? But Moshe writes, the svara, not sure if he sticks with it or not, but he writes a svara, maybe to have a din of metal on a daraisa level, it needs to be one of the six metals that are mentioned in the Torah. Aluminum is not one of the six metals mentioned in the Torah, and the majority of the plane is made out of aluminum. So maybe the plane is not actually makabel tumah from the outside, and it's sealed, so mele, it's a klicher, it's like a klicher, it's a mukav tam seal, and therefore it protects everything inside of it from becoming tameh. Great, fantastic. What's the problem? First of all, it's a chiddush to say that aluminum is not a metal. Okay, that's chiddush number one. That's problem number one. Problem number two is that the plane is not made out of aluminum entirely. It's about 75% aluminum, 25% other metals. So the other metals are at least a maimid, which would make it something that is mekabel tuma from the outside. So that would be another problem. Third problem is that even though it's sealed and it's airtight, it's not so posh. The Mishnah and Kalim, Perek Yud, it sounds like that you need a sealant. You need to actually add something to seal it off. Even that this, the purpose of the seal is not just to make it airtight, it's to close off whatever we would define as a Pesach. And the plane has something that is a Pesach. Without adding an additional seal, it may still be defined as a Pesach, and therefore may not be enough. There's also a concept called the Kli Abba B'Mida, that when a Kli is gigantic, so it could hold more than 40 Sa, the Mishnah in Allos says that if it could hold more than 40 Sa, so it's not Mekabel Tumah. So maybe it should protect because it's Kli Abba B'Mida. That doesn't work either. Rabbi Bleich writes in Contemporary Halachic Problems, first of all, because it's round, and anything that's round or has wheels is considered to be movable, so it's not a Kli. The whole concept of Kli Abba B'Mida is that it's so giant you can't move it. A plane obviously can move, and it's made to move. That's what Tosfos writes in Shabbos Daf Pei Dalet. Anything that's made to move is not a Kli Abba B'Mida. Tosfos in Shabbos Daf Mem Dalet writes that anything that's meant to be used for medrash, to sit on, to lie down on, doesn't fit the category of a Kli Abba B'Mida. So, and also, it could be that it has to be made out of wood or leather to be considered a Kli Abba B'Mida. So these kulas don't seem to really be working for us. Another possible consideration, Rav Feivel Cohen suggests, wait a second, we're all Tamei Mesim anyway nowadays. The Shitas Harayv it is, that a Kohen who's already Tamei Mes is allowed to become Tamei Mes again, because he's already Tamei Mes. What difference does it make? So maybe we could use the Raivit as a sniff lahakel, another potential sniff, even though Rav Feivel Cohen himself believes that we're not all already Tamei Mesim. He thinks that chazaka is no longer true. That was when people didn't die in hospitals. Everyone would die in a home. So probably at some point you were in a house where there was a dead body there. But nowadays, 95% of the people die in hospitals. That statistic is totally made up. But a lot of people die in hospitals. 95% of statistics are made up. But a lot of people die in hospitals. So Rav Feivel Cohen says, if a Cohen avoids a hospital, who says that he's really a Tamei Mes? But if you assume like that chazaka, maybe you could rely on that ravid. Rav Yashu was not impressed with that. He didn't think we could rely on that. The other thing Rav Feivel Cohen suggests is that maybe we can question the yichus of our kohanim, that they're not all kohanim yichasim, and therefore maybe we could use that as a sniff lahakel. Again, Rav Yashu was not impressed. He did not think that was enough reason to be makel. Okay, so now that we know that we have a problem, at least on certain flights, so can you wrap yourself in a plastic bag? What will that do? So the purpose of wrapping oneself in a plastic bag is that you're creating a kli cheres hamukav tamid psil. The concept of a kli that cannot become tamid from the outside. Plastic is not makabel tuma from the outside or the inside, so it's at least like a kli cheres. And as long as you seal it with a special sealant, you should be able to protect yourself from the tuma. Is there any reason that won't work? So a couple of reasons why it might not work. One reason it might not work is how exactly to seal it and close it could be an issue. If you just close it with like Velcro, that vaday won't work. It has to be something that really is considered a sealant. So some poskim suggest maybe anything that's normal to close that bag with would be like a twist tie, whatever you close plastic bags with, that may be good enough. Or a knot at the top, like the guy in that picture, that may be good enough. But others aren't so convinced that would suffice. Right, Shabbos you have a problem. But you shouldn't be on a plane anyway. Others aren't convinced that would suffice. Diane Dunner does not think it's easy to figure out a way to seal such a bag. Another problem is that in order to be a kli cheres mukaf tzom seal, it needs to be a kli. Is a plastic bag a kli? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about using plastic cups for kiddush and for netilas yadayim. Right, so Moshe holds that it is considered a kli that you're able to use it at least by the eved for kiddush and for netilas yadayim. But that's a plastic cup. Maybe a plastic bag is worse. The Tazen Arkayim Kufnun Tes says that if you have, let's say, a flask that when it's not full, it just drops, it just falls to the ground, it doesn't have any shape, then it may not be a kli. So the type of plastic you'd have to put yourself in would have to be a plastic that actually has a shape, that even when it's empty, it sort of stands up and has a base kibul. Certainly bubble wrap won't work. They can't just have a bubble wrap station now as you're getting on the plane to wrap all the quantum in, because it's not. It has to have a base kibul. It has to actually be a bag. So that certainly would have to be, but it may even need to be able to stand on its own. So l'chor, it's at least questionable whether a bag works. Again, the Dayan from London, Aaron Trow, held it does work. And apparently there are people that hold that it does work, but it's at least questionable whether it works. Rabbi Bleich suggests that maybe they should make a section of the airplane where they seal it off in a silicone container for the 3 minutes that it takes that they're passing over the Cholon Cemetery. And they could even advertise it that we have Kohanim class, you know, in our plane. And they could have extra oxygen tanks in that. Because the other issue, obviously, is that, you know, when you wrap, you're not supposed to wrap yourself in a plastic bag, right? That's somewhat dangerous. So that brings us really to our fourth issue. Our fourth issue is, even assuming it works, and knowing that we have an issue, and knowing that that we have a problem in Metzius and in Halacha, and even assuming that it works, is this a wise thing to do? So El Al didn't allow it at first. If Dayan Erentrau wanted to go on El Al like this, they said, no, the most dangerous time on a flight is during takeoff and landing. The last thing we need is somebody trapped inside a plastic bag. And anyway, you don't want someone suffocating himself inside of a plastic bag on your planes. So it's not, doesn't it? What if an oxygen mask comes down? He's got to fight his way out of the bag. It's not a good thing. It's not a safe thing to do. In addition to the fact that it looks weird in the extreme to have a guy sitting there in a plastic bag. What would be much better is if they could solve all these problems, get the north-south runway working where they won't have to go over the Cholon Cemetery, or just manage to figure out a way to avoid it entirely, or at the very least, the Kohanim in the meantime should avoid taking these flights, unless you want to be Samech and Rav Shechter about Kurva Lemes versus Tumas Mes. Okay.